Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark LaLawrence, subpar host of the show.
Change your name to LaLawrence?
LaLawrence. I think we should.
Am I McGranahan?
Well, you are now.
And that's a center over there.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad no one is perfect like you, because this gives you endless hours of amusement, the minor mistakes that the people that surround you make. If heaven forbid,
I find
you make
my own very amusing as well.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Name one of your errors.
Well, I don't make many, so it's hard to come up with one at the moment.
Coming in this morning comes to mind.
That was my first mistake, right?
All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury. Oh, Joe McGranahan is who he is, if you were able to discern that from his name calling there. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury.
Call you a name?
No, you called yourself a name. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line, 101% open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. Toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start a new one at 70236. If you're not signed up for Text Connect yet, it is one of the ways that we reach out to you, that tell you that there's a breaking news story or something you might be needing to know that we just posted at wkok.com. So we sent you one or two words about the issue. Let's say it's a section of highway around here that's blocked. It would have a link. If you're not planning to go on that highway and you don't think it has too much impact on you, you don't have to click on the link. But if you do, it sends you to WKOK.com. There's no advertising. We don't sell your name to anybody, even Joe, who's offered several dollars for it still.
Well, I've offered peanut butter pies.
Right. Boy, I'll tell you what. That is softening the deal. So we might have to have a conversation. We'll give you some of the names for one. One pie.
Okay.
All right. I'll give you all the people who work here. All right.
So I already know them.
That's the Text Connect number. So we appreciate you signing up there. And Joe will not bother you. And unfortunately, the pies will never materialize. So we're never going to have an opportunity to enjoy those. Let's see. We have open phones today. We have two emails pending. One text and one email, I should say. Yesterday, we were talking about the Catholic
the Star Barn.
Faith. Right. There was an individual who's the owner of the Star Barn in Lancaster County who is a devout Catholic, and he doesn't want same-sex weddings to happen at his wedding venue. Now, if you are gay or lesbian or transgender, you can attend functions there. You just can't get married there, and part of that is because it is a sacrament in the Catholic Church, and he doesn't want that to be in any way not upheld to its highest level. Chris called in about that and had an opinion, and wasn't really in favor of the individual barring gays from getting married at this location. And to that end, one of our listeners sent us a text.
Said, is Chris a practitioner of the Catholic faith? If not, he seems to have a lot of perceived knowledge to enable him to tell a Catholic business owner how he has to run his business. What's that called? Is it chutzpah?
Well, and you always argue, I'm not going to put this argument forth, but you always say, well, a business isn't just a personal endeavor. It's you're open for business.
Well, yeah, I feel very strongly that way. If you open up your doors and say, I'm in the business of selling X, and people come in the door and want to buy X. And you start saying, well, I'm not going to sell X to you because you're black. I'm not going to sell X to you because you're gay. I'm not going to sell X to you because you're a lesbian. Then we start having problems. I mean, if you're in business, you're in business. And, you know, to discriminate against anybody, well, unless you believe the product is going to be terribly misused. For example, if you're in a gun store and you think somebody's coming in to buy one to go out and commit a crime, I could see where
that already is actually a
violation. All right, let's say a baseball bat store and you think the person might have be going out to beat somebody's brains in with a baseball bat.
Right? It's a new store.
But seriously, I mean, if you are open for business, you're open for business. And if you start changing who you will serve or deciding who you will serve and who you won't serve. I mean, if you post a sign out front, I'm okay with it. Like those signs that say no shirt, no shoes, no service. All right, well, I can understand that. That's a sanitary issue. But if you choose to discriminate against someone, I think you should make it perfectly plain to them before they come in the door. In this case, the fellow who complained was, I guess, a gay man who was married and attended a function there.
Invited to a function that involves a chamber. Tourism Promotion
Agency.
That's
something else entirely. That's an event that's already scheduled there that came up after this.
Mm-hmm.
The gay man was there for something else, and I guess he may have inquired about use of the facility and was told that they would not rent it out for gay weddings.
Okay.
He then posted that a number of places, and it kind of took off from there.
Okay. So let's suppose you are a cake baker and somebody comes to you and says, oh, we are a group of white supremacists and we're having our annual meeting or annual conference.
You want a cake with a swastika on it?
No, I want a cake with a lynching portrayed on it.
Okay. Well, I would think you'd be perfectly within your rights there to decline.
Really?
Yes.
Why? Are you not open for business?
You are, and you will be happy to bake them a cake. And we will certainly put icing on it, and we'll make it as nice as we can, but we're not going to put a lynching on it.
But we are history lovers, and we love history. This is
if there was a national lynching convention for some reason,
please.
Maybe they would have an argument. But come on, there are certain things that are just totally unacceptable, you know, that you don't have to do. If someone came in and wanted to spell the N-word out on a cake, I wouldn't do that either. I would bake them the cake, and I would say, if you want to put that word on there, you can. Here's where you can buy icing, and you can decorate it yourself.
Well, I don't like that. That's a good way to run business. I'm here to get my car fixed. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a great garage right up the street, so take your business there.
Well, I didn't say to take your business somewhere else.
I think you and I are, in a way, agreeing on this. I think there should be some way for individuals with a conscience to refuse business to somebody with whom they find their product that they're requesting or the service abhorrent and against your ideals and your beliefs. So I think that's an okay thing. And I think you're saying that that's okay, too. I think we're on the same side of this.
Well, I don't know exactly.
We're just not on the same line. You know, where's the line is what we're talking about.
Well, I say if you draw a line, you know, at all, you have to advertise that line. You know, I think you've got to make it perfectly clear to people that if you come in here, this is what you will expect.
So you could put in your contract, to go back to the cake article about the lynching or the swastika, you could say, no patently readily recognizable offensive images.
Management reserves the right to reject images on our cakes we find offensive or that might be construed to be offensive.
Okay.
You don't have to spell out every single thing. But if you're going to make a judgment, you need to make it clear that it will be your judgment as to whether or not it is offensive.
So it shouldn't be a surprise to the gay couple when they come to your cake bakery and you, the Catholic, says, no, I'm not going to do that. My church doesn't believe in that.
Well, see, I think that's so weak because, you know, the cake has nothing to do with the fact that two people got married.
Well, the cake has nothing to do with lynching.
That's your analogy, not mine. I mean, you want to have a cake for a lynching, go ahead. You be my guest. But I'm talking about
for a lynching.
Real world stuff like this baking issue and the Star Barn issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, neither one of those, none of the people there are doing anything illegal. I submit to you, lynching is illegal in all 50 states. So celebrating an illegal activity might be something that under my
standards. We're just calling attention to something terrible that happened in the past. It's just history. We're not celebrating. It's a terrible thing that it happened.
Well, again, I go back to the statement I placed in front of my business. The management reserves the right to reject images or content content that might be deemed offensive.
Or that we find objectionable.
Or that we find objectionable
yeah, you
or
wouldn't
offensive.
Be I don't think the... cake baker in what is it, Wyoming, was offended by the Catholic or the gay marriage. I think he just finds it objectionable.
Well, yeah, but the cake is not part of the ceremony. It's part of the party that's held after the ceremony. Mm-hmm. If the cake was integral to the wedding, then I would say maybe on
religious... Yeah, but it has two grooms on the top.
If it were integral to the wedding, mm-hmm. then maybe he would have a point. But it's peripheral at best.
So you think he should have had... Should have had to do that cake, which in the end the Supreme Court said he did not.
He might have rejected not putting two grooms on top of it,
okay.
But he could have sold them the two grooms, or he could have told them where to get them, but not put them on the cake. I'm just saying there's a way to accommodate your personal interests and still remain open and viable as a business that serves all people.
How about this? Your two mini grooms in an edible cake will be arriving under separate cover, and you may elevate them on your own.
Right. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
It accommodates everybody.
It kind of works.
And actually, the guy didn't refuse to bake them a cake. He refused to make them one of his signature cakes. He was happy to sell them a cake.
Sort of a more conventional cake. I got you.
Right. And I think that's probably within his rights, although... Right. You know, I don't see why he would draw that particular line, because he obviously had something to do with the regular cakes in his bakery, even if they weren't his special creations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, probably the artistry, the hours that it would take to make a nice cake.
Well, at least be consistent. If you're going to do this, be consistent about it, and let people know what your problem or what your business philosophy is, and what you intend to do, and how you intend to do it.
All right. Well, if somebody wants to weigh in on this message, this stems from a current topic. We kind of moved back to the old cake baking topic, but this stems from a current issue at the Star Barn. There are some groups that now, groups and individuals say they won't go to the Star Barn because the owner there won't allow a same-sex wedding in what is a wedding venue, but they're open for business, but he probably does have a written caveat somewhere that he won't allow services, ceremonies, activities, or events that he finds objectionable.
See, that's the other side of the issue. How are those people aggrieved by this man's decision to the point that they say they won't ever go there again?
Not at all. They can go anywhere else. They can go everywhere else.
Well, they can go there, too.
And get married? No.
No, I'm saying the people who are saying they're going to boycott it because of his position.
Mm-hmm.
How are they hurt? You know, they want to show solidarity, I suspect, with the gay community, and I
say
that's their right. But, you know, I don't like these boycotts all the time.
Right, boycotts. You like business.
Let's boycott people. Let's stop them from this.
1-800-795-9565, Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Call us now if you'd like to weigh in on this. We got lots of other topics to discuss, and we will do so shortly. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Okay, should we talk about this?
Well, we have two phone calls waiting.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. We have a owner of a wedding venue in Lancaster County that won't allow gay weddings. No one has asked to have one there. It's just against the rules, and somebody found out about it, and so they're
Well, we don't know that, Mark. Some people may have asked and been turned down. And
well,
gone
that,
other
but
places.
That didn't thrust it into the public
eye. No, that's not what thrust it into the public
hundreds
eye.
Hundreds of things could have happened in the past year there. But the only thing that's put it in the public eye in Penn Live and on the TV stations is that we'll call him an activist now. He may not be all the time, but a local activist found out that they won't allow gay weddings at the Star Barn, and so he is complaining. Rob, thank you for waiting. You are on the mark.
Okay. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
As far as the barn itself, I think we need to make a difference between publicly owned property and privately owned property in order to have give, you know, business owners the right to refuse if they want to. As far as it goes to like other businesses, I think we need to make a distinction between if you're selling merchandise that was made by somebody else, then you should have to sell to everybody no matter what. But if you have merchandise that is talent-based, based on what you do, I think you should have the right in order to, you know, not sell to everybody. I mean, would you be okay with having a white supremacist group, you know, go to a black baker and say, make me a cake with nooses and Confederate flags on it? Or would you be okay with, like, a publisher, you know, having somebody say, I want to publish this book, it's, you know, the Holocaust was a hoax?
Well, I like,
would that be, would they be forced to do that?
Yeah, I like Joe's idea of carving out certain things that you find objectionable and you don't have to perform the service or duty then.
Right.
Now, we don't agree on where that is, but we both agree to a certain extent, you know, like the depiction you just named would be listed as objectionable under the, you know, within the conscience of the owner.
If the guy put
right.
a sign
and
on
far,
his business, if he put ahead. A sign on his business that said, I am a Catholic, anything that violates Catholic dogma, I will not participate in.
No meat on Fridays.
Right. So if you have a wedding on Friday during Lent, we aren't going to let you serve meat. You know, so we're, this is a strange line to draw, I think, if you're in business.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I agree with you, it's his right to draw it.
Correct. And then he would have to also suffer the consequences of his action, which would mean some people would not go there, or even they might be boycotted. Now, as far as, like, going as far as saying, like, well, a drugstore might say they might not want to sell to, you know, black people or Jewish people, whatever. Their product is made by somebody else. And I think that's where we can draw the line of distinction. So if you have a, if you're selling a product made manufactured by somebody else, you don't have the right to refuse. Does that make sense?
It does, but I can see problems with that. For example, let's say a black couple goes to hire a wedding band, and the wedding band says, I'm sorry, we don't do black weddings. You know, it creates discrimination for no good reason.
But that's a talent-based product, not as a
right,
manufactured
that's why I was
product.
Using that. But still, it fits in with what you're saying. They're perhaps playing music written by a third party, but they're rejecting someone's request to perform based strictly on their color or some other criteria that they've decided they don't want to take part in.
Well, okay. I mean, but that happens all the time with people who go to get books published and they don't. It might be because of the content of the book, or they don't think the book is going to be, you know, made, or, you know, and as a musician, people who write songs that send them in all the time that don't get recorded or don't get played because,
true,
you know, who knows for whatever reason.
All right. Thank
well,
you so
song,
much.
A song called Love is Like Cement probably wouldn't find a publisher.
No.
Love is like cement. You feel weighted down
but,
and
you know,
stuck.
You know what? That it would probably be classified as rock music.
Oh, very good. Oh,
please. Ouch.
You win the award today, Rob.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. Well, sorry about that.
No,
you know,
no,
I just can't help it.
No problem.
All right,
thank
hey, guys.
You, thank you so much.
Keep up the good work. I enjoy listening to your program. And also, I want to thank you guys for promoting the musicals in the area. I've listened to you, you know, promote
oh,
them.
Yeah.
And so, and tell Matt he's doing a good job over there in the newsroom.
All right, we'll let him know.
Pass that on. Thank you
very much. Yeah, Matt's a musical head. He loves musicals, so he promotes them. All right, he can sing half of the musical numbers, too. That's the other beauty of having Matt in there. Diane, you are on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in. We're talking about refusing service for reasons that you consider objectionable.
Okay. I can't speak to business philosophies. I know we had a bridal shop in locally that closed down for having a similar, or I shouldn't say closed down because of, but closed down afterwards, presumably because people didn't shop there anymore after she, the owner, was discriminatory against a lesbian couple. All I want to say is that this baker in Lancaster does not speak for the majority of Catholics. We are asked to treat all people with respect and compassion and dignity, which discrimination is opposed to. And as facilitators of a LGBT Catholic ministry in Danville, we need...
Hello?
Oops, I think we lost
Did
Diane.
Did you drop out, Diane?
1-800-795-9565.
Yeah, I hope she calls back. I would be interested in hearing what her point was, but apparently your phone dropped out and we lost you.
Yep, it's definitely gone. Not us. All right, well, Diane, buzz us right back. We know she's listening right now, so give us a call back, 1-800-795-9565. This is an opportunity while she redials for us to say On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. I haven't been there in a few weeks, but I take our vehicles here from the radio station there on occasion. You pull up, you say, this is why I'm here. They say, well, Mark, please have a seat or go look for your next Ford Ranger, and then we'll fix up your car while you're gone. We'll call you on your cell phone or your pager while you wait. And that's where the Quick Lane comes in. They really are quick about it. They specialize in all types of service there, state inspections. They got a body shop. They got a car wash. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. The Quick Lane is the way to go. Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Everything you need to know about the Sunbury Motor Company, you can find at sunburymotors.com. Diane, you are back. You got a dropped call there.
I'm sorry. I pulled over because I was driving, which I probably should have done anyway. I'm just opposed to this baker in Lancaster falling on his Catholic faith to discriminate against people. The majority of Catholics would totally be opposed to what he's doing. We're asked to treat all people with dignity and compassion and respect, and I don't think that does that by discriminating against a couple any couple that wants to celebrate their love in a marriage.
But Diane, the Catholic Church does that. They won't marry two gay people.
The sacrament is not right now open to same-sex couples, but we are struggling to move forward with respect and compassion, including all people in our church. And by that man saying that it's his Catholic faith that won't allow him to treat anyone with respect is just opposed to the Catholic faith.
But he's actually defending it based on the sanctity of the sacrament of marriage, which the Church defines in no uncertain terms. I think you would agree with me. We're both Catholics, apparently.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, he's just saying that he believes the institution of marriage as a sacrament should be preserved as the Church teaches it, and he doesn't choose to take part in anything that violates that teaching or that lessens that sacrament as taught by his Church.
Well, it's violating other teachings.
Oh, no, I think we lost Diane again.
Well, I think she's got one bar on the phone and one false move, and then
there she is.
I think that it violates other important teachings of our faith, which is we need to treat all people with respect and love and compassion. And that does not do that. And I can't speak to business philosophy, but the majority of Catholics feel the same way that I do. And here in Danville, we have a Catholic LGBT ministry that reaches out to all people. And, you know, we're not judging. We're not telling people they can't get married or they can get married. We're just saying, you're welcome. Come.
And this is out of St. Joe's, or is this a private?
No, out of St. Joseph.
Wow, fabulous. Okay, good for you. Good outreach. All right, well, thank you so much for the call.
Yeah. Anyway, and also, I don't know if you heard me before, but, you know, I don't know about business philosophies, but I do know that even local businesses have closed when they have had a discriminatory policy like that against gay couples.
And do you know if they closed because of that and maybe less work, or did they just, I mean, businesses do come and go on sort of on their own in a typical, normal fashion anyway?
That's true, but the local, you know, buzz is that that's why.
Okay,
you
know, gotcha. Right, no argument there. Okay.
Where was that dress shop? Was that in Danville
Bloomsburg.
Or Bloomsburg? Okay, Bloomsburg is what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, keep in touch. Thank you. Call again. Thank you. We're glad to hear from St. Joe's. We were there last week when the bishop was there, so we're glad we got a good invitation to go up there. We're glad to say yes. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate that, Diane from Danville.
We got a text apparently referring to Diane's call. It says, an earlier caller said the gentleman in Lancaster doesn't speak for most Catholics. How does she know? All she can say is he doesn't speak for her. She has no right to say he doesn't speak for the majority of Catholics while presuming she does.
Oh, I think she's in the right on this. Surveys have shown that most Americans favor gay marriage within established churches, including the Catholic Church. But we can probably hunt that up. That could be a... found, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, I think to Diane's point, the Catholic Church does discriminate, if you want to put it that way, because it won't conduct those marriages.
But people don't guide the church. They are the church, but strangely enough, they're not the drivers of it. All right, we're going to continue this conversation when we come back. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me. Rob Center is fabulouser by the day, so we appreciate his hard work. He is our producer. We are talking about a controversial topic that popped up in Lancaster County, where the owner of the Star Barn does not allow gay weddings to take place on his venue because of his Catholic beliefs. But both Joe and I, and one of our previous callers, Diane, all agree that it does not necessarily mean that you can't do business there. It's just that there has to be something that the owner of a venue or a business or a bakery has to be able to say there are certain things I find objectionable, and that's where we draw the line. But we don't have agreement that the Catholic faith should bar same-sex weddings in a business individual's venue. We have the St. Joseph
Church. The church isn't banning them. The owner is
right,
banning them.
The LGBT or outreach was part of St. Joe's Church in Danville, so it's wonderful to hear that that exists at all. So that is good news, and we're talking about both sides of this issue. Both Joe and I seem to agree that there's got to be some place for some businessman to draw, or businessman or woman, to draw a line where they find the work that they're asked to do objectionable, and they won't do it. So there is that line somewhere. We just don't agree on precisely where that might be. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 702-236. Do we have current texts? Are there some behind this?
I don't know.
Not at the moment. Okay. We do have some brief news headlines. An out-of-state woman was severely beaten in Sealance Grove near Susquehanna University's campus. Apparently, police say they're trying to piece the case together. The woman got out of her vehicle Sunday afternoon near Hauer and 18th Street, which is not far from the SU campus. She said she had a flat tire, apparently walked across campus, but at some point was assaulted and found Monday morning. But precisely what happened in between, police say they are investigating and asking for people
people to help them. The woman from New Jersey was severely injured and was taken to Geisinger. Work will continue on Chestnut Street in Sunbury. Monday night, Sunbury City Council member Jim Meister told WKOK there's still some parts of Chestnut Street that need to be completed.
There's some manhole covers have to be raised up because they're too low, catch basin or two, and some shutoff valves for the gas and water.
And he says between 3rd and 10th Streets, work will continue with the installation of new streetlights, though some elements that they need are backordered. Councilman Eister says there'll be some minor traffic inconveniences. He hopes the work will begin next week and will be completed by the end of this month. A lawsuit backed by the NRA has been filed in opposition to Pittsburgh's new gun control laws. 4 Pittsburgh residents are suing the city, Mayor Bill Peduto and City Council. The suit says the legislation Peduto signed into law Tuesday infringes on people's right of self-defense and will do nothing to prevent mass shootings like the one that killed 11 people at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue. CBS says Shelby Cassesi is in Pittsburgh.
The legislation restricts the use of assault-style weapons, bans certain accessories, and allows for the temporary seizure of weapons from someone who is believed to be a danger in the city of Pittsburgh. However, opponents to the legislation quickly filed lawsuits as state law forbids municipalities from regulating guns.
A coalition of gun rights groups filed that separate suit seeking to block the laws from taking effect. Both suits were filed in Allegheny County. Mayor Peduto and the city council members say they expected to be sued and are pledging to
defend the suit.
Right, to fight as much as possible. Yeah, I don't think it's legal for the state to say, oh, these are the gun laws and you can't have any laws in your municipality stronger than ours. I'm surprised that passed constitutional muster, but sometimes the Republicans down there do strange things.
So. Really?
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. I think that probably would pass constitutional muster. The state has a right to, state laws take precedence over local laws, just as federal laws take precedence over state laws.
So what if you end up with a Republican legislature that's very lax in gun laws, and they say almost nothing is illegal in Pennsylvania from now on.
But they can't go below the federal laws.
Right.
They can't
say
that the federal laws don't apply in Pennsylvania.
Right. Okay. No argument there. But what's wrong with a municipality requiring gun locks or saying that certain high-capacity magazines or people on the no-fly list
because
can't buy?
Because the state has a law that says
you can't
regulate.
Right.
So
well,
if you want to change the law, take it to court, see if somebody upholds you.
Right. That is wrong. You shouldn't be able to say, okay,
well,
only state law.
Suppose we in Shamokin Dam decided that we're going to ban this or that weapon, and the people in Sunbury decide something else. You now have a crazy quilt collection of laws all over the state. You go from one municipality to the next, and you don't know what's in force.
And safer towns.
So you say.
Well, some folks say banning certain types of weapons would make us safer.
Fine, but do it at the state or federal level.
Your favorite ultra-conservative senator says that.
I say do it at the state or federal level. Make it consistent.
No, if you wait for Harrisburg to fix things, buddy, guess what? You'll be waiting
a
long time.
Better, I have a better chance in Harrisburg than I do in Washington.
Well, no argument. Yeah, the vortex leaves people zombies in Washington, but in Harrisburg, they're still ambulatory. You know, they're still able to function, take nourishment.
So I think the people in Washington have been their brains have been consumed by the zombies who are roaming around down there.
Let's see. This did not receive much publicity, but the AP covered it, gavel to gavel. It's a House Judiciary Committee hearing on white nationalism and social media. So the two topics are glued together for this committee hearing, white nationalism and social media. David Cicilline, a Democratic lawmaker from Rhode Island, grilled Facebook's Neil Potts and Google's Alexandra Walden about their company's responsibility in the spread of white supremacy, pushing them to acknowledge that they have played a role, even if it is not intentional. He said, "Can you answer? You agree white nationalism is enjoying a meaningful resurgence in the United States?" asked the congressman, citing research from law enforcement and the ADL. "Yes, I am aware of the research," Walden replied. Now, she is from Google. Potts and Walden did acknowledge that their companies do have responsibility in curbing hate. Conservative commentator Candace Owens told lawmakers at that hearing that the country needs to talk more about what she called harassment of conservatives of color. Quote, "We're not talking enough about political hatred in this country," unquote, she tells the House Judiciary Committee. Owens, who is black, is the director of communications for a conservative group, Turning Point USA, a frequent public speaker. She's been an active supporter of President Donald Trump and has been trying to push African Americans to leave the Democratic Party. Owens complained to lawmakers about a double standard that she says allows criticism of black conservatives, Christians, and Jews. Quote, "We need to condemn all types of hate speech," unquote, she says. All right, 1-800-795-9565. So far today, we have talked about an individual who owns a wedding venue. Well, it's a venue for all kinds of activities, events, and gatherings in Lancaster County, but he won't allow a gay marriage there. He says it violates his policy. He never actually turned anybody away.
His policy is religion,
right,
which
religion.
Is now implemented as a policy.
Well, yeah, now it's a business policy. So we don't know that he necessarily turned anyone away, but somebody who was invited to another function found out about the rule and made it public, and so that caused quite a bit of pushback. Some folks say they're not going to go to functions at that place anymore. The place, the Star Barn owner, says everyone is welcome, and we have received this email. Read this one in the middle, if you don't mind, Joe.
All right. Margaret says, "How's this? One cannot refuse service to anyone who is in one of the general groups covered by anti-discrimination rules, gender, sex, age, religion, etc. That would clear you to cut out any hate groups, white nationalists, etc., because they are not part of that group."
Right, but we refuse to list individuals of that nature as minority groups.
But that doesn't say sexual orientation.
Protected minorities.
Their sex, but not their sexual orientation. And suppose white nationalists wanted to get married there. Would they be refused?
I don't know. We'd have to ask them.
No white nationalists, no gays, no... Anybody that I don't like can't get married here.
All right, we got three phone calls on this very topic. We'll take them in the order in which they arose, which puts Cindy at the top. Good morning, Cindy. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. I wanted first to say, you know, you raised the issue that the U.S. Constitution preempts state and local law, and I thought that was true, except now that you look at what's going on with marijuana, that's not true anymore. You know, there are all these states and municipalities that are legalizing marijuana, and the federal government has not changed its position at all.
But they haven't enforced the law either. That's the problem.
Well, that's, you know, that therein lies the rub, right?
Right, right.
Okay, but let's, I want to discuss this other issue about renting a venue. Now, if I had a venue, and Joe, you and I have had this discussion in the past about your fondness for pageantry and my thinking it's disgusting. So imagine that
Do you mind explaining what the pageantry, Cindy, what's the pageantry that he likes that you don't?
Women prancing around half naked on stage to please him.
You're talking about beauty pageants?
He says, yeah, that's pageantry.
Oh, okay, I got you. Okay,
so,
good.
Joe has a fondness for this, and let's say that
a female group,
right, a, like Mrs. Pennsylvania or something, comes to me and wants to rent my venue, and I decline. Shouldn't I be allowed to do that?
If you specify up front that you reserve the right to reject people based on the fact that they might be parading around semi-clad, I have no problem with it
well,
then.
Well, let's imagine it's one of these. I hope we could agree that I don't agree with these dressing up of children like was done with that young girl that ended up murdered.
JonBenet Ramsey,
right.
Thank you. So that whole thing, I think that's just disgraceful. That's my opinion. I own a venue, and they come to me and want to conduct one of these pageants, and I say, no, not in my venue. You know, go someplace else. Shouldn't I be allowed to reject that?
Yes.
Thank you.
You should.
And now let's imagine the Chippendales are coming to town. For folks who don't know who they are, it's actually a male pageant, sort of. And they come to me, and they want to rent my venue. Don't I have the right to reject them as well?
I think you do, but my position is you need to make it clear that there are certain circumstances that might occur where you would reject the business. My problem is if I walk in your door and you're saying, I'm open for business, I'm renting this space, and then you tell me, well, no, I don't like what you're going to do, so I'm not going to rent to you.
But you have no written policy.
No written policy.
You just
policy.
Decide
in other words,
on the fly.
Right. If you decide in advance what your policies are going to be and you make them well known and I come to you knowing full well that you're going to reject me, that's on me, not you.
Well, I suspect in some cases these people who solicit the use of these facilities know. They're looking for a fight. I think that there are other venues available, and I think they go to these places because they know that person's going to reject them, and they want that because they want to create a fight.
I agree. I think that's probably a large part of it.
I think that's exactly what's happening. Rather than there's no place else or this is the only place on earth they can imagine to hold their, you know, their event. And the other thing is, Joe, you know, this surprises me, your whole thing about you're against people boycotting a business based on their behavior. And this is why. You were for decades, as I understand it, in the business of selling advertising. That was what made your business work. And what is advertising but the owner of a business using their dollars to sway people's opinions to get them to come to their business. Isn't that a fair description?
Yes.
Thank you. So why can't I then conversely, based on the behavior or the philosophy or whatever of a business, say, I'm going to use my dollars elsewhere? Because that's really the only power that a consumer has in the marketplace.
But that's not the good analogy.
Dollars.
If you came to me and said, I want to run a spot saying, don't go to my competitors because he's a crook or something like that, I wouldn't take your ad. We sell advertising based on the fact that you want to promote your business and what you provide a service for, not to the detriment of somebody else.
Yeah, but you're saying that you oppose me saying I'm not going to buy, for example, from Nabisco because they have outsourced the production of their cookies to Mexico. You say I shouldn't be calling these for these boycotts, which I'm not. I'm just describing my own behavior. There's a gas and oil company that whose carelessness laid waste to a large part of off the coast of Alaska. I haven't purchased their product, will not. As long as I live, I have the right to make that use with my dollars.
And I don't dispute that.
It's when you, I don't get why you have difficulty with that,
Joe. I don't dispute that. It's when you try and get everybody else who may not share your opinion to go along with you that I've got a problem.
We got some calls waiting.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cindy. Really appreciate the call. Van, two calls in a row. Glad to hear from you again. You are on the mark.
Good morning. You know, I think what it comes down to is it's an attack on Christianity, biblical Christianity. I mean, there's this Christianity that has appeared probably in the last 2-3 decades that goes under the guise of being very tolerant, very accepting of all kinds of lifestyles, when the Bible is quite clear. You know, God himself is the one that ordained marriage, and that's why that man, as well as many born-again Christians, have a very strong opinion on marriage being unique only between a man and a woman. So anything that's against that, I can understand why this guy just doesn't want to put his blessing on that, because God puts a curse on that. And if we as Christians put a blessing on that which God curses, then we're just as guilty as the person doing the thing that God calls cursed.
But let's take religion out of it for a minute. From the standpoint of somebody running a secular business, you know, he doesn't have a religious criteria for people coming to his business. He doesn't say, I will only take Catholics, I will only take Pentecostals.
It's not the Catholic Star Bar.
But here, Joe, the thing that makes it a religious issue is marriage itself. Because apart from the Bible, and, you know, God's the one that instituted marriage. So therefore, because God instituted marriage, it is therefore very religious. And God says what he's put together, let not man put asunder. So God's blessing is upon a marriage, and God's curse is upon any other, like adultery, fornication, you know, homosexuality, this transgenderism, all those things that God calls a perversion or an abomination is the terminology that he uses. And God even says in the New Testament, he says, you know, don't be deceived, you know, because drunkards, thieves, homosexuals, you know, adulterers, idolaters, they have no place in the kingdom of God. And this idea that, you know, because the majority says this, and it's a progressive movement in religion as it is in the political arena, that people are pushing for ideas that go, you know, politically against the Constitution, but religiously they're going against the very word of God. And see, there's the problem. you know, as a Catholic, or Mark as a Lutheran, and I myself as an independent fundamental Baptist, what we believe about the Word of God has a great effect on where we stand on certain things, and especially this issue. And I take the Bible to be literally the Word of God, the very words of God. And God says he's exalted his Word even above his name. So I don't know if you, I've listened to you guys for years, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I'll just ask you flat out, you know, what's your stance on the Bible? Do you accept it as the Word of God, or is it just a religious book that you can decide to use a penknife and cut out what you don't agree with and change it?
Well, Joe's been a menu, what do they call it, a cafeteria Catholic?
Cafeteria
for
Catholic,
year.
Right.
So, well, I believe that God inspired the writings in the Bible, but I also think some things have gotten lost in translation, or we're not looking at them quite right, or some people aren't looking at them quite right. You know, they either lost it in translation, or I think some things were added, you know, as you know, Van, some Paul scholars say certain paragraphs and certain things aren't in his writing style. And may have been added by people trying to affect a community then, you know, when the translations were being made. So that's my view. Joe's not too far off of that. All right, well, another 30 seconds. We've got a caller waiting, and I got to take a quick break. Go ahead, Van.
And that's the whole thing, you know, with what people believe about the Word of God, politically, what they believe about the Constitution. You know, it's that simple, and I believe the Bible says that God preserved his word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And God Almighty is the one that has to keep his word pure. And he said it's as silver purified seven times in a furnace. You know, so it's, God's word is truly the Word of God, and you can trust it and believe it. There's no errors in it, and as much as people want to say there's errors, you know, you let me know when you find one, and we can discuss it.
All right. Thank you so much, Van. Appreciate the call. Lance, stand by. I know you've been already waiting, but your beard's going to get another eighth of an inch longer while we stand by. So hold on. We have other open lines, 1-800-795-9565. We have opportunities for you to email us at onthemarket@wkok.com. We're still talking about a wedding venue that won't allow gay marriage, and that irritates some people in and around Lancaster County.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. The machine shows that Lance's beard grew 1/8 of an inch longer while he waited. So thank you for waiting, sir.
Why? That's okay here. All I do is put on the speakerphone, and I'd be listening to it anyway. So it's really not a big deal.
Fabulous.
Okay. Why? Anyway, I listened to what you folks were talking about, Pittsburgh and the gun laws and everything, but were you really aware that we have a law in our state that specifically leaves up to the state all our gun laws? In other words, we have a preemption clause?
Yeah, that's what we're arguing. Or do you mean an old law versus the new one that says no municipality may make gun laws that are stricter than the state laws?
Yeah, that's the new one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's only about 10 years old or so.
Yeah. Right. So they're actually going against state law.
Right. No, I understand that. Well, that law to me is unconstitutional. It doesn't seem fair that the state can say, okay, no municipality is able to protect itself related to guns or weapons or, you know, promote safety, more or less protection, but promote safety, unless it's stronger than the state law, then you can't do it. I mean, that hardly seems fair. I mean, individual municipalities adopt all kinds of laws that are more stringent than state laws. Look at dry communities or laws related to zoning and, you know, not permitting certain types of businesses in certain areas.
Well, I guess you have an argument there, but still, it's a law.
Well, yeah, no argument there. Yeah, well, that's the sort of the heart of the lawsuit. That's what they're going after.
Now, insofar as rights of the folks there at that store barn, you remember the old adage of, any man's death diminishes me.
Yes.
Okay, well, the loss of anyone's freedom is the same thing. Mm. It diminishes all freedom.
And, but you don't have a freedom to go on private property and do absolutely
No. I'm talking about that type of deal. But it really does diminish all freedom when folks who are denied a freedom that is available to everyone else. That really, really does diminish. Every kind of freedom you can think of is diminished by that, or as I'm concerned anyway. And also here, on your Sunrise program, a while back, you had some folks on from the, I guess you call it the political breakfast in Lewisburg.
Oh, yeah, they have like a little round table thing, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, I got the email, or it's not actually a voicemail address or email, but I got the wrong letters in there someplace, and I just wondered, how could I find that out?
Well, there's one this Sunday, I can tell you, that, or this Saturday morning. I think they start at 8 o'clock. So, I think I have your contact information. Let me triple check. And also, one way or another, we'll get you some info. How about that?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, you betcha, Lance. Thanks for calling in.
You bet.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
Right, we have an email. Margaret, who says, if this is too harsh, feel free to ignore it. I'd like to comment to the guy who was giving lessons about God. He seems very knowledgeable and fluent about his subject. I just want to point out that some folks, when they hear God, and could easily substitute Easter Bunny or Santa Claus, just saying. Before you hang me for pointing that out, I do think Jesus is great.
Thank you. Yeah, he's the best Easter Bunny of all. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll take all comers right now. This sounds like we're at a good pivot point to take a little break. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. And I want to tell you about the wonderful people that sponsor that. The Hometown Pharmacy's line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. Personalized service on a first-name basis and centrally located where you are. How about that? Shade Mountain Pharmacy right out on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills. Now, not too many people walk to that particular facility, but hundreds of people drive there, and they're right in the middle. I think that would probably be maybe like Penn Township. You're almost to Middleburg. What's the township right before Middleburg? Franklin, maybe?
Jackson? No, I don't know.
All right. But anyway, so that's where they are out in Mount Pleasant Mills. You know where they are on Route 35. And, of course, the whole medical complex is there with the Family Practice Center and the other facility. We got one call coming in on that toll-free line even as we speak. Trutz Pharmacy is on walkable distance on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg. Do like many people do. They stop at Trutz. Then they go up to the Scarlet D. Then they go over to the funeral home. Then they go over to the First Lutheran Church and visit other places.
in Mifflinburg while they are there. Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street, you can do the same thing, walk there, or you can safely cross Duke Street. There's much less traffic in that section right now, but it is fully accessible by car. Duke Street, Route 147, Northumberland is an opportunity for you to visit there. And Bloomsburg Medicine Shops on Market Street in Bloomsburg, you can visit all the other shops that are down at that location. And the Lewisburg Pharmacy, 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Of course, you can walk to Kohl's Hardware and Champion Shoe and the chocolate place that's up there.
It's either Washington Township or Franklin Township.
Okay. Noted. Thank you very much. Good zoning in. Yeah, I thought it might be Franklin. All right. So, nonetheless, hometown pharmacies, I give you those specific locations for a specific reason, and that's that these pharmacies are in your hometown and not just on the edge of town where the mall is. No, they are right in the middle of your hometown, and that's for good reason. A lot of people ride bike or walk to these places. Many people drive, too. They all have good-sized parking lots, and there's no door banging there, and they would just love to talk to you at the hometown pharmacy. So let's take a quickie break. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. It appears as though we're wrapping up our discussion about the Star Barn, and they won't allow gay weddings because it goes against the religious morals of the individual who owns the venue. And it sounds like we're about done with this topic, but last-minute callers or emailers. All right, while I have a second, I want to say tomorrow we're going to talk about Representative
Ilhan Omar
is talking about the 9/11 attacks. It's not calling the terrorists or Muslim extremists.
No, she said some people did something.
And that irritates people like Joe.
It certainly does.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Bobby D., second call of the week. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Yes. Concerning the law, okay, this is a commonwealth and not a state. And I've been settling estates ever since 1986. And, of course, you know, as long as you own, you know, if something's handed down from family to family members, whether it be a business or whatever, and that it's basically, you know, of course, this is my home here, and as long as I own it and it's within the family, the Commonwealth law, you know, because it's an older property, I don't have to deal with whatever, just this operation and maintenance. So from a business standpoint, if that gentleman in Lancaster has a family business that's been handed down, as long as he owns it, he can dictate how he runs his business. So he's protected by the Commonwealth law. As, you know, as far as that's concerned.
Okay, well, maybe that'll help him. I know he may have owned the property. He didn't own the barn for very long because that was moved from another location, purchased and moved from another location. But now it is the wedding venue. But good point. All right.
Yeah, as
point.
Far as like, you know, as far as what goes on around the property and all that, I mean, if you're going to stay in business, you have to serve the public.
All right. It's going to be a lawless area by Commonwealth law. All right. Thank you, sir. Dan, we appreciate your calling in on the Cafeteria Catholics, which you call religious smorgasbord.
Yep. We're living in a time in our country more so under secular humanism where persons are led to believe I can choose whatever I want to believe. And they, you know, don't matter what you call God, the Easter Bunny, or called Jesus, whatever, this is where we're making a huge mistake, a very huge mistake. As the one caller said, we have to get all the information about God from the Holy Scripture. Anything else could be an error. So we need to go back to the Holy Writ of Scripture to learn our truth about God. And once you go to the Holy Scripture, you'll have a great knowledge of God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Savior. And that's what we're living in the day. I call it in America. Sad to say, most people believe in this smorgasbord of religion. Just choose one, you'll get to heaven. It don't matter what you believe. Be sincere. Sad to say, you can be sincerely wrong. So I recommend people study the Holy Scripture. And if you can't get it, there's plenty of people around that do get it. And they'd be willing to share their knowledge of Holy Writ.
All right. Well, find yourself a Bible at the library or the nearest church, I guess.
Yep.
And start reading. Start on page one. Start with Genesis.
Yep. You'll be surprised what you learned outside of the Scripture that isn't scriptural. Even by some so-called churches, religions, whatever. You'll be shocked every day. I read every day the Scripture, and I'm still shocked at some of the things I was taught that just aren't true. And it's an eye-opening, an enlightening experience. And we can believe in the one, as I always say, the one true God, the only true God
that's
revealed
Joe's,
by Scripture.
That's Joe's God.
Right. I hope it is, and I hope it's every listener to my this morning, to the voice I'm speaking with, can know the true God of heaven. They don't have to be lost. They can find truth, and they'll be talking like a lot of us. Hey, the Bible is truth, and it reveals the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
But, Dan, not everybody believes that. Some people would say you're dealing in circular logic. You know, God didn't personally come to you and say, read the Bible, it's the truth. Who did he say that to? I mean, it was written and inspired by God according to our faith, but that doesn't mean that everything in it is not subject to interpretation. That's why there are 500 different Protestant denominations, Catholics, Jews. Everybody interprets it differently. There isn't one truth.
Here's where they go wrong, Joe. You have to take everything and together. You can't pull out verses. And I'll give you an example. I'm not picking on the Catholic religion, and not at all. A lot of Protestants have this as wrong. Peter is considered the first pope. Well, if he would be a pope, he was a leader to the Jewish Christians. He wasn't even interested in Gentile Christians. So if you wanted to be scriptural, you'd have to say Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. You know, that's one thing you'll learn by reading Scripture.
All right.
One interpretation that Paul was the leader of the Gentile Christian church. He formed it and started it, reaching out.
All right, we got a caller waiting.
Heathen. Yep.
All right, noted. Thank
you
so much. All
right, guys, hey, have a very good program today, very inspiring. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah, whenever religion is the topic, Dan feels extra engaged, and so we're glad to provide.
As does Chris.
All right. Oh, yeah, Chris.
Oh, yeah, talking snake.
He's engaged.
I haven't seen a snake talk, but maybe in Harry Potter. I guess I did. Anyway, I wasn't arguing about whether he should be allowed to discriminate in Lancaster, or Lancaster, I guess.
Actually, Elizabethtown.
Elizabethtown, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Because the law, as it currently is, I think allows them to. I think that's why anti-discrimination laws are essential, I believe.
Okay.
Because he could also refuse, say, blacks on the basis of religion because of his interpretation of the Bible if there wasn't a law against discrimination against race.
Okay.
That's my interpretation, anyway.
Okay.
But I was arguing, I think in his case, since he's claiming to be a Catholic, what I was trying to get at is what is being broken by having rented out to somebody who has a non-Catholic wedding, specifically a gay marriage, and how he distinguishes that. Does he also not allow Hindu marriages or Buddhist marriages? Is he consistent? It is, and what marriages do Catholics accept and not accept? And which ones break sacraments and not? Now, my theology is a little shaky on that, and especially because the rules have changed from time to time in the Catholic Church.
There was a time when the Catholic Church didn't recognize any marriage outside the church.
Yes.
And with respect to, like, divorced Catholics can't remarry in the church, but if you were married in some other church, they didn't consider that as a deal breaker.
And I think in 2007 there was one article where basically they were talking about gay marriage, and they said it's best not even to attend a gay marriage because it would be a violation of Catholic faith.
Yeah, it'd be an endorsement.
But
well, when I
since
went
that's
to
become legal, so that changes things a little bit, perhaps.
Well, it does change. When I was in high school, I wasn't allowed to attend baccalaureate because it was held at a Protestant church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today they don't make that distinction. So, I mean, the church has modified some of its views, but to some people, it still has a long way to go.
But that also makes it more possible for him to the fact that it's they consider marriage between any two Christians a sacramental marriage as long as it meets a few characteristics. One is which is being of opposite sex.
That is his justification.
But,
yes.
But I don't quite understand if it's not recognized as a sacramental marriage. For instance, if it's two non-Christians, supposedly atheists or non-believers in general, and they're getting married, does he also discriminate against that? Does he have to inquire about their beliefs before he allows the marriage to take place? And if they're believing Christians, then I guess it might pass muster.
Well, you're making my point. He's on a slippery slope because what if they
cohabitated? And I would think you'd need a priest to agree with them, or a bishop or something, or the Pope, in order to... Does the church say that if you own a business or a building, can you rent it out where somebody's going to use it for a gay marriage? Do the priests and the bishops object to that? And if they don't, then he's on shaky ground legally because he's doing it as part of his Catholic beliefs. And if the church hierarchy does not agree with him, then that sort of undercuts his position a little bit, I would think.
Right. Well, and not every, for example, you heard an earlier caller say that her church, her Catholic church, has an outreach to the LGBT community. Not all Catholic churches have that outreach.
And my discussion I wrote into a newspaper about was about whether a gay marriage should be called a marriage or not. And it seems to me like it just because it's not a Catholic marriage or a sacramental marriage, it's certainly a civil marriage,
right?
And
but
not
some,
just a civil union. I don't know whether.
But ultra religious.
To me, there's a distinction to be made. There is, if you were refusing to call Buddhists or Hindus married.
Well, I think Chris,
for instance, you know, it bothers me that they seem to have there's a monopoly on the definition of the word marriage that only means religious marriage.
Well, people with these strongly held religious beliefs say people who are religious and the Bible owns marriage. Now, people can come up with a contract and live together, but it's not true marriage. It's only marriage if it's endorsed, done by two faithful people in a biblically scriptural way by a priest.
Well, you're ruling out the state's role in this, which I know you don't agree with, but the state sanctions marriage as well as religious.
No, but I'm just saying.
You can have a state, you can have a civil ceremony without the word God ever being mentioned.
I'm describing someone else's belief that they say religiosity and only religiosity owns marriage. The state has nothing to do with it. They can give them little licenses out, but it's only a marriage if the church does it.
But that's sort of taking away the English language from everybody else.
Yeah, right, exactly. I could not agree more.
What gives you a right to have a monopoly on the definition of marriage? Maybe holy marriage or Catholic marriage or holy matrimony or something like that? Yes, maybe you do have your church define it. But just marriage with a small M, and you're defining it for everybody else, that kind of seems, you know, not quite proper.
Right. Very exclusionary. Okay. We got you, Chris. Thank you so much for calling
in. Bye.
Appreciate
the call. Take care,
Chris. 1-800-795-9565. I got a speedy dialer with about 4 minutes left in the program. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Our show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark.
One of our writers says, why is it that we forget that when Christ was asked by his disciples, what is the greatest commandment of all, he replied, that you love one another, no qualifiers or quantifiers.
Van, thanks for calling back. You get another minute of fame. You are on the mark.
Just a question. Would any of you two dare this morning to predict anything that's going to happen in this world 2,700 years from now? I mean, would you even...
Sure, I will.
You think you're correct?
I will.
You can make a prediction, but it wouldn't be true.
Yes, it will. But things will be different.
Well, things will be different, but that's like Nostradamus and his quatrains. They're very, you know, ambiguous. But with the Bible, God predicted that in the last days, Israel will become a nation again, and it's happened. And the thing now, with Israel being a nation, there's also going to be a temple built there, and the Bible says in the last days there will be scoffers. And Chris, I got to say, I love Chris, because he's just a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. That would be scoffers that would rise in the last days, and how, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. And iniquity is filling this world, and it's a horrible place to live in, really, to tell you the truth, and it's only going to get worse and worse. And the Bible predicts and lays out exactly what's going to happen, and we're seeing it happen right before our very eyes. And anyone who doesn't want to believe the Bible, that's your choice. But it's like people that mock the Old Testament. Jesus said in the New Testament that if you don't believe Moses and the prophets, and that's the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible, and all the prophets, then you're not going to believe or be persuaded that one rose from the dead. And that's why people mock Christianity. They mock the resurrection. But Jesus quantified himself by saying he is the truth. He's the only way to the Father. So as a Christian, that's exactly what I believe.
All right.
And anyone who believes different, we'll be on to them. And everyone has their warning. We all make choices, but at the end of this life,
Van warned you.
Almighty.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate the call. Well, see you tomorrow.
Right. But Leviticus said you can stone people, and Jesus said to love them. I don't see how that's not a contradiction.
I don't think he wanted to stone anybody.
I don't want to stone anybody.
He made
anybody.
It want people to get stoned. We don't know.
Well, you may get stoned on Friday night.
That's another topic. All right. Thank you so much. We'll take up this mantle tomorrow. This is WDK, okay, Sunbury.